What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, garden update.
Oh, it sounded like you were calling me Ben Garden, and I was like, I don't hate it.
Ben Garden.
Ben Garden, nice to meet you.
There you go.
All right, garden update, let's go.
I think I'm getting worse at composting somehow.
Yep. That's not what I wanted to hear.
So
tell me more about why you're getting bad at composting.
I know. It seems like, how could you be bad at it? Just leave it where it is and it does its thing pretty much.
Do you mean to tell me that your organic matter is not decomposting?
Here's what I mean.
Okay.
Is that because we are where we live in Roanoke, Virginia, does this thing in the spring where it likes to pretend it's spring, but also still winter. Like, we don't sort of like gradually start moving up from winter to where it's like, oh yeah, it was 30 degrees for a week, then 40 degrees for a week, then 50 degrees for a week. It's like, hey, it was 80. Guess what? It's freezing again. Now it's 40. Now it's 20. Now it's 8. It's 90. You know,
yes.
It's all over the place.
And that's like 4 days.
And that, yes, I'm sorry. That was 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay. The weather is so weird here when it's changing from winter to spring. And
I think that's just like big mid-Atlantic life for you, because like we're like equal parts. Like at some point in time, I feel like for SCB, we had hired somebody from Wisconsin and somebody from Miami. And
yeah.
It was like hilarious to see the ways in which winter went well for one of them and summer went well for one of them.
Right.
Then the others were terrible.
Right.
And then we're kind of like in the middle ground where it's like, we're kind of used to cold weather. Just we're kind of used to hot weather.
Yeah. What we don't like is fluctuating weather.
Yeah. Which we have.
But so what will happen someday? So what keeps happening is that it will be suddenly so cold outside that I will not want to take the compost outside.
Okay.
So it'll just sit on my kitchen counter.
Right.
And there have been days where I've been like, I'm just going to brave the cold. I'm just going to go do it. And I'll bring it down there and my compost will literally be frozen shut. I cannot even open it to add new stuff.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm like, now what? And now I've gotten to the point where, because I haven't taken it out, it's not like it's not doing its thing there on the kitchen counter either.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you got decomposition on your kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Which
exactly.
Which I bet everyone in your house loves.
It smells bad.
I mean, it is.
It's contained, but it's sort of like one of those things like, even now I'm like, even when I bring it out there, I'm going to have to open it. And when I open it, I'm going to have to deal with the smell for like 10 seconds. And that's too much.
Yeah.
And so then, it's like a problem that the more you don't address it, it's not like you're ruining it. It's not like, oh, I can't take this outside anymore.
Right. Yes.
It's
right,
still
yeah.
composting. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's probably be better outside, where when it gets 80 degrees out there, it'll just like, you know, cook it, which is what you want.
Well, here's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of compost getting hot, do you think like it's the sun making it hot?
I think it's both. Like, I think you put it in there and like it's doing its thing in there, creating gases, which makes it hot.
Okay, yes,
But like, I think you put it in a plastic container and the sun bears down on it for 8 hours is getting way hotter and going way faster.
Well, okay, yeah, sure. Yes, I wasn't sure, because like compost, I think, can generate heat just
for
completely
sure
on its own.
Yes.
So if you're ever in a cold snap and you're trying to find a place to nestle in for a nice toasty nap,
yeah,
find someone's backyard compost heap, dig yourself a little cabin.
Yeah, don't mind the worms.
Go crawl. Yeah, don't mind them.
Don't mind them.
They won't mind you if you don't mind them. That's what they say.
Yeah. That's what they say.
It's a saying as old as dirt.
That's where it comes from.
There we go. Okay. So you're this is a bit of a garden update, but it's more of a compost update.
Hashtag update.
Ask me about my compost.
Hashtag ask me about my compost.
Nice.
Thanks for asking.
I feel like I got like one of the compost tumbler devices back during like, you know, the pandemic when I first started like planting stuff outside. And what I feel like happened was I just very quickly, because I collect all my grass clippings, mm-hmm, and like a lot of like my leaves from my yard end up going in like a huge pile. while. So like I've just taken like six pallets and like nailed them together, and I kind of have this like really like
a really
shabby looking heap.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Oh, a nice compost heap.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I mean, it's like it's quite large. Although it's like I have way more than I could ever use. And
right.
This is like where, you know, I think I've mentioned it before, but I have like my entire plot of land is smaller than some people's house.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I'm like, I feel like I've got this like nice, pristine looking home with my like well tended to yard and all the sort. And then in the back, there's this giant heap of dirt and other leaf debris.
Nah, Ben, that's a feature. People are like, wow, love the sidewalk. Love your pagoda there. Nice compost heap. That is, it's like when Donkey gets to the swamp. He's like, I like that boulder.
That is a nice boulder. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you can't overestimate the quality of a great boulder. You know?
I mean, dude, every kid genuinely needs a good boulder.
They do.
There's no doubt.
Here's like one of those like dreams of mine.
Yeah.
So like,
you lay know, it you've on. Seen, Tell me one of your dreams.
One of my dreams. One of the many. So like, I've always wanted like a backyard pool. Mm. You know, like it just feels like one of those things that like would at some point in time be a pure delight. And in my head, I would use it every day.
I mean,
you know, or especially after a good like mowing the lawn, being able to just sort of be like, I'm gonna go jump in, grass clippings and all,
right?
You know, and that's what we got the filter and the net thing for.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah,
but then like I know that there are plenty of like, you know, really like well designed super expensive backyard swimming pools that have like rock facade, you know, it looks like Thunder Mountain over there, and they've got like a slide coming through and all that. It's like, sure, that's one thing, but like what I've always really wanted is to find like a real true blue gigantic rock and build the pool next to the rock, so that like the rock is not just like a fake rock, it's a real rock.
It was a real rock,
you know. Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, that, and then I mean, think about it, you know, you could go through maybe even like you were gonna like chip away some like stairs into it or something. I mean, wowee, don't even get me started with how happy I'd be.
Ben, I'm so glad you brought up shaping rocks like this.
Oh man, are you in the process of reforming granite or other sedimentary /metamorphic/igneous stones?
Can't say that I am. However, I have recently discovered a viral sensation
I'm trying to beat you to the punch here. I'm sorry.
Nope, you're good. And I've been sharing it with the office, and I feel like I need to share it with the pop. And it is, I guess we're going to call it Tunnel Girl.
Oh, are
you,
okay.
Do you know about Tunnel Girl?
Yeah, only because of you, but yes.
Not to just be like, guess what I saw on TikTok here on the pop.
No,
but whenever I say that, it's like, I don't even use TikTok. I guess what I saw on Instagram. For some reason, I'm like, if I say I saw it on TikTok, that sounds cooler than if I said I saw it on Instagram.
You using reels?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh man, I have a small social media thing that I'll come back to.
Okay,
yeah.
Look, if you don't know about Tunnel Girl, you guys have to look it up, because it is the most unusual page I have found on the grams, wherein this woman is digging a suburban mine in her backyard, and she, I mean, not like just like woman digs hole in backyard. It is like,
because you know how that's common content,
right?
Too.
That would already be kind of like its own fascinating page, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
Nope. It's not like that, you guys. It is like this woman has got a mine in her backyard, like under her house.
I was gonna say, like, backyard is generous. Under the home,
like. I don't know how to describe it more than it's a mine. There's like an antechamber. There's concrete walls. There's like one. There's a mine. There's like a cart that drives itself uphill because it's filled with giant rocks that she's put into it.
Yeah.
Like,
and based on the video I saw, she has had no fewer than 9 entire like 30-foot long dumpsters.
It's up to 13.
That she is filled with like rock and stone bits.
Right. Right. Exactly. Like, what are you doing in the mine? What is happening down there? Why are you building it at all, suburban mine lady? So, I don't know.
So she's digging a hole and has not explained the function of the hole.
Look, there's a lot of posts on Tunnel Girl's page.
Okay.
And I haven't gotten to all of them.
Okay, so you don't
usually know. Usually when you find someone's page like this, like the top pinned thing will be like, here's the explanation for what I do here.
Yes.
You know, I'm kicking this rock until it turns into a perfect sphere. It's like, got it.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
Or every single video will start that way. It'll be like, welcome back to my suburban mine where I'm trying to dig until I find gold or something. You know, it's not like that. It's just like productivity on the mine is back up and running. Here we go.
So it sounds like what you need is somebody to go and make Tunnel Girlipedia.
Right. Yeah. I need like the breakdown of like what is, and because there's the, like, I know I'm already blowing your mind with suburban mine.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, there's the mine carts. There's like a hydraulic lift bringing the rocks out of the mine and putting them into there's like a ramp, it drops the rocks onto, it goes into a truck, and then she moves the truck and moves the rocks out of the truck into the dumpster, and then a dump truck comes and picks up the dumpster and takes it to a quarry. I don't know. But
somewhere.
No, I do know where, because there's been a video about that.
Okay.
They're like, they mined rocks at, there was a big quarry in wherever, and now they're collecting the rocks from her and they're filling it back in.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, okay. But then in the meantime, it's like she's always also wearing like full makeup and like pearls and a green dress and like using a jackhammer. And like,
you know how people mine,
you know, regular mining clothes.
Yeah. It,
like everything about this is fascinating. Go to the page. Like I need to know what this woman is doing in her brain because it's all fascinating to me. The wardrobe. And not only that, it's all filmed really well. That, you know, that's the other thing.
That is the part that always blows my mind the most. I mean, it's like, I used to go back to this with like America's Funniest Home Videos all the time where I'm like, why are people always filming? Like, how are they getting so lucky as to catch these things on camera? Because most of the things that I see in America's Funniest Home Videos, I've never even witnessed in real life. You know, so it's like, not only did you witness lightning strike, but you also had the camera ready for it.
Right.
And in this case, when I say lightning strike, I don't mean literal lightning, though I could.
Good.
And chances are someone's got that.
Yeah.
But like, the point I'm trying to make is like, your kid fell butt backwards into the toilet or something and gets completely stuck. I actually think this is something that happened to Alice's cousin, and he got paid like $400 for being featured on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Amazing.
When he was a kid. But it's like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, what are the odds that you're going to the bathroom and your parent rounds the corner with the video camera, you splash your bottom right on in there, and then you're like folded up like a lawn chair and can't get yourself out.
What was the situation going to be where they were filming you on the toilet?
Yes, and right? This didn't happen. Yeah, like these are the kinds of moments that force my brain to go back into Truman Show mode, where I'm sort of like, no one was really or has AI been around like way longer?
What they just been doing
it than we think, and it's like everybody's like, I can identify AI, and it's like AI has been here for like 50 years.
Right,
you can't identify AI. None of these people in America's Funniest Home Videos exist.
Yeah, that would be wild.
I'm kidding. That's just me being tinfoil cap Ben. But. No, yeah, it's like sometimes you see this with people who are like documenting their, you know, their venture. And a lot of times it almost feels like an unfair advantage in life that not only did you have the courage, the opportunity, the wherewithal, the physical ability to dig a mine under your home, but you also are good at like narrating and storytelling and videographing from multiple angles. It's like, are you serious?
Right.
It's like, how could you be so good at two things?
Right.
You know, and when two, like one of them is remarkably eclectic.
But there's all, it's like all of it. It's like, yes, the filming is all very good. And the narration, it's like, it's not being like the music being played sounds like you're listening to like Enya or something whilst you're watching the mine girl do her thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then the narration is like, I can't tell what, like the voice is like, you're just like, are you trying to sound awkward and you're doing a good job, or are you awkward, or is it like you're performing as like, I know this is crazy and now I'm bringing you along with me.
It's part of the charm.
Right. Is it part of the charm? Like all of that is crazy. And then you go to the Instagram page, and this isn't even the only thing on the Instagram page. It's not like, welcome to my mining page. You know,
it's like, here's me cross stitching.
Right. It'll be like, here's me fixing a picture frame in my house. Also, here's me lip syncing to a song. The This woman has a following as Tunnel Girl, and the only highlighted story on her Instagram page is a still picture of her while music plays. And that's it. I'm like, what? This is... Everything is fascinating. I need to know. How did you learn how to mine? How do you even know the equipment to get? Where did you get the equipment? Why do you know it? I am like, I can't tell you how much I've thought about Mine Girl in the past.
Oh,
like,
it shows. It shows.
I know.
Yes. I mean, no, you're right though too, because like maybe. So like, this is me trying to go into the psyche of Mine Girl, is that like, she's like, okay. You know what? Online dating, the worst. The absolute worst. So it's like, pick up a shovel about it. You know, like I'm going to pin a post. This is me. Here's the kind of music I like. Look, I look nice in my green dress. Now, in the meantime, I'm going to go viral on the internet by essentially digging a hole under my home until I get enough followers that somebody is my person and they find me.
They find me. They're going to be like, I could help you with that mine if you wanted.
It's like, you know what? We could mine together.
We could mine together. Yeah. I too yearn for the mine.
Right. And then you get like the first ever mine wedding, you know?
Oh, like, first ever mine wedding.
I mean, you know, surely it's happened before, you know, cause mining goes back pretty far.
Yeah.
Done it, you know,
it has to have happened.
Yeah. But still.
Right.
Maybe the first ever mine dug by the bride and groom, and only the bride and groom.
But mostly the bride at this point.
But mostly the bride who has done an enormous amount of the heavy lifting. Literally. Here's the other thing though. You showed me the first video. You came in one morning and you're just like, you walk in the door and your jaw was just like dragging on the ground. And you're like, guys, I don't know what else to say other than Mine Girl. And we're like, well, we're going to need more context than that. So you pull out your phone.
And I'm like, I can't even explain it. I feel like I'm trying to explain it here on the pop. People are like, I still don't get it. They're like, you have to see it.
You have to see it for yourself. But so here's my other thought though. And it's equally ludicrous, but like in my mind, I was sort of like, okay, what if there's a possibility that she's like having extensive work done on her home? And I've only seen like the one video. So at this point in time, this is possible within the confines of like one video. And so she's sort of like, I'm going to go like film myself, like shoveling like a few like handfuls of this into a bucket. And that way it'll be like a silly little gag, you know, like they're redoing my basement. So I have like a whole bunch of like rocks available to like shuffle.
Right.
So like, I'll just be like, oh yeah, I'm digging a mine in my house. And it's sort of like, no, she's just getting a new basement. And they've just been down there all day with like jackhammers. So there's a big pile of rocks to make. But like, even then in my mind, like I'm thinking, because I have workers at my house right now doing like, you know, work to my home. So this would almost be like me coming home every day and be like, you know what would be a brilliant form of content? Using all the leftover crap that these guys didn't throw away today, making it the set for my performance of me doing an incredibly random and obscure activity,
right?
Like building my own mine.
Right. Do you think you could emulate the act of building a mine given your home's current state?
No, I certainly could not. However, there have been like, you know, not 9, 13 truckfuls of rock hauled away from my home, but there have been probably 3 small trailers full of like old debris, like plaster, 2x4s,
right?
You know, materials.
Yeah.
So like the idea here would almost be like, if I was using their work and attempting to make it look like my work, as if I was doing some type of like major job, and because I have such good props at my disposal, look what I did. So this is like what goes through my mind for a second, but it's only because it's such an unbelievable activity that she's engaged with.
Yeah. But I mean, I can tell, I've seen, you can like go see her pile of used jackhammers, which is a hilarious sentence.
It's a hilarious sentence. I don't doubt her for full clarity. Yes.
Yeah. But there would just be sentences in there to be like, the mine entrance was being blocked by my ever growing stack of castle building blocks. And you're like, I didn't know castle building blocks was a phrase.
Right,
and you're saying it like it's normal.
Yes.
And you have excess of them. You're making them.
You know how sometimes...
Are you building a castle?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, are you mining blocks for a castle? But then there's other videos, Ben, where I've seen her make the castle blocks, and they're not from rocks from the mine. They're just like from boulders out in a field. And then you got to be like, how did you learn how to split boulders? By putting a bunch of iron pegs in them and then taking, or like drilling holes in them and then filling them with like basically like a different some kind of liquid material that once you put it in there, it settles, and then much like ice, expands. And if you put them all in a row and they expand at the same time, you can come back the next day and just like, and it'll like crack apart. It's like, what? Who taught you how to do this? Did you know?
How eclectic were your parents? Where do they live? And how can I go talk to them and ask them 100 questions?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's the most fascinating set of skills.
Could you imagine though, for a second as well, that like you're a minor, you know, because like probably like her day-to-day life right now was probably not horrifically dissimilar from being a minor, you know? And then it's sort of like,
does she have a regular day job?
How could you?
How could you? When you're building a mine.
Right. Like with my day job, if I started digging, I feel like I would have hyper limited progress. Like it would not become a viral sensation very quickly because it would take me so long to do something that was remarkable.
Right.
And you know what? I used to dig pet graves.
You used to dig pet graves. I remember that.
I've dug some holes in my day.
Here's the other thing about this woman is that she keeps wearing this like dress with like the, like these, like this long sleeve green jacket over top of it.
Yeah.
It's very fancy digging the mine, but like I desperately just want to see her like doing it without the jacket one day to see how jacked her arms are at this point.
She must be
so strong.
Yes. I mean, you'd have to be. I mean, shoveling rock.
Rock.
Yeah. It's like
rocks, man.
I get it.
Tons of rocks. 13 dumps. Not small dumpsters, guys.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking about this? 22 minutes. You got to check it out. It's. I don't even know. You know?
I know.
I know you've seen lots of weird series on the... Maybe I'm just late to this party, but everyone's like, Jay, you're just now. Your algorithm just now fed you Tunnel Girl.
Well, I mean, that would be embarrassing.
I know. Yeah. People are like, God, we've been following this story forever.
Right. Yeah. It's blowing up a lot. I mean,
it's blowing up.
Surely the local TV news station has done like a story on Mine Girl.
I'm sure there must be news coverage about this.
All right. You want to know what else I think is bizarre?
Tell me.
That like... It's the kind of thing where it's like sometimes I feel like if I like jaywalk across like my own street to get to like my convenience store down the road that I love so very, very much, I'm like, I'm probably going to get like arrested for this and thrown in the back of a car and taken away to like some far flung prison, you know? And it's like, I feel like there's so many instances where I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just like about to be caught for everything.
Right.
You know? And like you see something like this and I'm like, there's no way it's up to code.
Oh,
like I feel like you can see her neighbor's houses like in the surrounding.
I know. Here I am like, you know, trying to like talk myself into like, what if we just built a 6-foot fence around our yard?
Right. What if you just did it?
Like, what if I just do it? Then like I know the HOA says like you're not supposed to do it, but like, you know, who's enforcing it? It's in our backyard.
Are they going to that's the question. Are they going to come take it down?
Are they going to come take it down? Right. Or are they just going to be like, we're fining you, and it'd be like, I guess that's just part of the cost of the fence.
I'm imagining Gaston in like the Kill the Beast song, where it's like all of the people in your neighborhood are putting together like pitchforks and burning flames and shovels and stuff, and like in the middle of the night they like storm your backyard to like kick in all the fence posts.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean that's you know how suburbia is.
Yeah, I'm like, what me? And I'm worried about whether or not I could possibly get away with turning my 4-foot fence into a 6-foot fence. And this woman's like, I'm digging a mine.
Right, yes.
So...
Yeah. What are you going to do? Come at me? I doubt it.
What are you going to do? Because I have a pretty good hiding spot.
Right. Also, I'm working on a castle wall.
Yeah.
So,
good luck. You can come and get me if you want, but I have castle walls. So deal with it.
Maybe we should reach out to her about hosting CastleCon and me and you can officiate her and Minor Man's wedding.
That would be great.
It'll be like a jolly good occasion.
Right. Yeah. That would be great.
Right. It's like we see you. Right. Your attempt to bypass online dating by digging a gigantic hole / mine underneath your home. Mission accomplished.
What would you need the mine for? I don't know.
I I mean, it's a great question. It's like, it really is like one of those things where it's like, I know, like when we were driving out in like the Southwest or whatever, you drive past fields that have like, you know, the oil rig things or whatever. And like, some of them almost feel like, dare I say, hobby sized, like,
right. Like I just put it, I had it built.
Exactly. Like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, maybe if like the government reaches out to you and it's like, hey, can we use a portion of your land for like a solar panel farm or for a windmill or something? It's like, it feels like, you know, hey, if you harvest some oil from the ground, like, we, you know, you're not selling like 500,000 barrels, but if you sell like 400 a year, you know, it makes you $20,000 or something. Like, I don't know if that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, like where it's just sort of like a byproduct of living here and you have the space and technically there's oil down there, not enough to like justify a big rig, but enough to like offset the cost of your homestead or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, part of me is almost just sort of like, is there like a known natural resource underneath your home? Also, at what point in time does she start to like, you know, throw the integrity of the foundation of the home into question?
I don't
know. Could the house ever like Venice itself into a ravine?
Well, that would be the saddest thing if the mine collapsed on Tunnel Girl.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I don't mean for her to be in it.
No. Yeah. No. You know? Yeah. I know.
Like, I mean, her safely away.
Yes. 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 I wonder how many cool things she has found.
It's a great question.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm watching this other, the algorithm's also feeding me this other guy right now who's like, his gimmick is every day he's digging one scoop with a spoon for every follower he has.
Oh!
I know. And he, like, every day, I mean, it seems like he'll just be like, ooh, found a bone, found a piece of pottery, blah. And I'm like, dude, Tunnel Girl must be finding so many cool things.
So many artifacts.
So many things must be in the ground under her house, probably, that aren't just rocks, but probably are just rocks.
Wouldn't it be just like unbelievable if what this ended up like yielding was almost like a whole new like trend, and we start to like people the world over start digging mines underneath their home, and all of a sudden we find like a million dinosaurs we never knew about before, because it's like, well, we couldn't just go dig everywhere, and then everybody else is like, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. You know what? I want to dig. I want to know.
You know what, though? Digging is so joyous. I love digging.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, like, part of me, like, I hear your spoon idea and I'm like, you know, maybe that's how I get my pool. You know, like,
But every day I'm just digging. I take three more shovels, you know?
Right.
Eventually, the hole will be deep enough.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
All it takes is some months of backbreaking work.
That's it. That's it.
I'll dig my own pool.
Dig my own pool. DYOP.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
as it were. So anyway, this is, I don't mean to transition away. Do you feel like we've properly handled?
I think we have. I think if people aren't interested in at least checking it out, you know, what more can we do?
There's literally nothing.
Because I want more people in on this in the Little Kernel community. Okay.
This is the new name of the wind. Is it sort of like doors of stone? Are they coming? You know, like,
I almost, here's the thing, is I'm sure answers to all these things exist. And part of me is like, I don't even want the answers to exist. I want her to have not explained any of it at all, other than that it's happening.
The raw wonderment is exactly the enjoyment.
That's the real, that hopefully is the true beauty of the project, is that everyone's like, but why?
Well, on some level, that must actually be the case, at least algorithmically speaking, because you weren't fed the beginning of the story.
Right.
You were fed at whatever point it became the viral, middle. Which means that, like, up until this point in time, like, it's been explained, but that's not the one that made it go.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
It's like, in the beginning, it's just sort of like, it is just woman digs hole in backyard, but now it's like, woman has functioning mine in backyard.
Right. Yes. Yes. Mining what? We don't know.
We don't know. To what purpose? Who knows? She has a lot of castle blocks.
A lot of castle blocks.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, is she just sitting on top of, like, nothing but pure stone. Because that would also seem unlikely.
That would also seem unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much progress you can make a day, one person in the middle of a tunnel.
Dude, I mean, okay. So yeah, going back to my scooping dirt days myself, you know, you run into like a medium sized rock, like, you know, smaller than a basketball, bigger than a softball. Like, your shovel is basically like, I don't work anymore.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Like, it's like a huge pain in the buttocks.
I think mostly it's like a constant game of like jackhammer everything out of the wall, then shovel it into the cart, then send the cart up the lift, then put it in the truck, then drive the truck, then shovel it out of the truck. It's like a giant game of move the load slowly away from the hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what one person can accomplish on their own, too.
I know.
You know, goodness gracious. Okay. Well, good for her. Good for her.
Good for her.
We will continue to update if and when we ever find answers, but maybe we don't need them.
Maybe we don't need them either. Maybe now you're going to be like, that was wild. And you too can just live in wonder.
The real journey was the unanswered questions we discovered on the way.
There's nothing like a good chaotic neutral storyline, you know?
We are a big fan of chaotic neutral.
Yes,
there's
we are.
No doubt about it. Yes. Okay, so going back to social media, as everyone probably tuned in knows, I have been off since 2022. So yeah, May 2022. So I'm coming up on my 4-year anniversary of not being on social media. Woo!
Woohoo!
Although I almost made a triumphant return, and by triumphant I mean like me possibly posting the most controversial thing I think I've ever posted, which is not that controversial, but it's like I don't know why this stuck in my head so badly. But there was a person that I went to high school with, and like he was one of those students who, like, I feel like was a lot more intelligent than school performance could ever indicate.
Okay.
And it was almost like one of those things where he was like, maybe, like, built a little bit like not spoiled like Dudley Dursley, you know, but like real strong guy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
like he worked in a mine.
Like, I mean, it, like if he worked in a mine, it wouldn't have surprised
sure.
me, you know, like it was like, I could see it. You know, he could occasionally have like a bit of a toad, you know, maybe didn't always get on well with the teachers, that kind of thing. But it was like one of these people who like, I felt like whenever I like saw him have like a conversation about like sports or something, I'm like, you have a much more succinct and broken down opinion here than I would have thought.
Right.
Like, it's like what you're saying, it's like, this is highly intelligent discussion. Like, this is really good. And so it's like one of those things where it's almost like, I feel like you've got like a lot more going for you than maybe even you realize in yourself. And years ago, right before I signed off, I remember he posted like a gas price related thing.
Okay.
You know, and it was sort of like, it was being mad about the current gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things that like lodged in my mind, because I feel like there's been like lots of evidence that has suggested that like, you know, gas prices are based on like such weird things, you know, it's like, it's not always directly impacted by this, that, or the other. But it was one of those where I feel like he was being kind of like political about it. And it wasn't even that I was irritated with the politics of it. I was just like, dude, like I expect more from you.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Like, and not even this would be the case for like anybody. It's like this guy.
Right.
And so like it's like been lodged in my brain for years. And I was like, at some point in time, gas prices are going to go up again. And it's going to be one of those things where it's like, it's going to be completely counter to your point. And so I'm like, I'm going to go and I'm going to wait until my gas tank is super low. And I'm going to go and fill the whole thing up. I'm going to take a picture and go back to your post from 4 years ago and be like, blah, like none of this matters.
Right.
Like, you know, like, and
to post it as a response.
As a response. Yes.
Just be like, hey, I didn't forget.
It's like, I've been off social media for 4 years. I came back for one reason. That reason was this. I'm posting a picture of how much it costs to fill up my truck with gas,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and so like literally I'm sitting at the gas pump yesterday, cause I finally got like on E enough to like properly make my point.
And yeah.
This is me having like vengeful thoughts over what I would like to think is like a completely non-important problem. You know, like I'm not really like, you know, the stakes are not that high to me.
Right.
In terms of this situation.
I mean, gas prices are a real problem, but
I'm sorry.
That's not what Ben means.
That's not what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not that invested in this particular, like
this feud
with this person. It's like, I don't know why I couldn't stop thinking about it. That is exactly what I mean. And you know, so I like literally like I go through the process of like, I don't remember my password and it's not saved or whatever. So I have to go through the whole like password reset.
You actually try to log in to find it?
I did find it.
Wait, did you do it?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I did not do it. I go through this whole thing. I have to like go into my email address that I made in eighth grade made, you know, which I actually amazingly know the password to.
Wow.
Reset my password, do all the things. I'm doing it not in app. I'm doing this like through my phone's like web browser. So every, you know, it hates all of it.
Right. Every step of the way, it's like, are you sure you wouldn't like to be using the app?
Right.
Or a desktop?
Yeah. It's like, can we send you to the app store? And I'm like, no, you may not.
No.
I'm not reinstalling this app.
Right.
But I will log in for the sake of finding it. And so it's like one of those things where I'm like, okay, fine. I like log in. I refuse to look at anything on my feed. I'm like, do not get attracted to any of it. Do not consume any of the garbage.
Right.
I typed in the person's name.
Is that woman digging go mine?
That would be so awesome.
That'd be so funny.
It's catching on.
Oh no.
So I find the person, go to his, like, you know, I'm like immediately on his photos. I'm like scrolling through his like mobile uploads. I'm trying not to pay attention to any of them. Sure enough, I find the photo and I'm like, boom, bam.
Was it like far back, or was it like, is this guy like a heavy poster?
He's a pretty heavy poster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Lots of photos. He, somewhere along the way, and I would say, again, this is like where I admire this feller. He has like a 10-gallon hat, like a cowboy hat that he started wearing.
Okay.
Like somewhere in along the way. Is it 10 or 5-gallon?
Oh. Man.
Anyway, it's a large
hat. It's a big cowboy hat.
It's like a big cowboy hat. And I was sort of like, I'm like, dude, he's pulling it off.
Pulling
like,
it off.
You know, so even as I'm like having this like 4-year-long, completely like vengeance conversation with this guy who has no idea
that
it would have struck me in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, look at him. Way to go.
Yeah.
Like
nice hat.
Most people can't pull it off. You're pulling it off.
You're doing it.
Yeah, good for you. And I find the post, I click it open, and the thing I realize about it, and this is where it's like, it almost comes to like such an interesting head, is that he clearly was either filling up a piece of industrial equipment or has a secondary gas tank in the back of his truck that you can fill up. So you only have to fill up your tank like once every like 4 months or something, because he had purchased 99.9 gallons of fuel.
Wow.
And at the time, I think that this totaled to like $365 to fill up his tank.
Okay.
And so I part of me is almost more like, and even like looking at like the top responses, it was like the little like head blown emoji and stuff like that. I don't think people were even responding to the price of fuel of it all. They were responding to the basically 100 gallon fuel purchase.
Right.
And it was sort of like, oh, it's almost like a different context altogether,
right,
than I thought it was. Like, I mean, there's still, you know, the like a $3.60 per gallon type of average price going on inside of his photo or whatever, but like it almost seemed more like he was like, yeah, I had to get 100 gallons of gas at once. And I was like, huh, I've had 4 years of thinking about this. And actually, I'm standing at the gas pump, like with my camera ready to take a photo.
I'm ready to respond.
Yeah, after all these years, always.
Always.
Yeah, so anyway, I let it go. And then I closed the browser and I am now back to not being on Facebook.
Okay, so you spent 4 years thinking about this only to realize that maybe you had interpreted the entire thing wrong to begin with.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that was the saga everybody hoped to follow along on, right?
Like, yeah.
You've got your mega viral situation. I have an obscure person I went to high school with who posted something that wasn't all that important.
There you go.
Yeah. You ready for a transition?
Transition. Bam, bam.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. 300 and some odd episodes into doing the pop, and I've started to realize something about Jay and I. Not as hosts, but as people. We frequently seek the need for permission to try something new, whether it's tattoos, growing a mustache, or finally starting that Name of the Wind podcast. And while it's funny to think that I didn't realize this before, I also get it, because starting something new is terrifying. Like, we should only do it on Halloween, so at least we can like be on brand for the occasion, right? And when it comes to launching a new business, like, forget it. But Shopify is the tool to take you from the daydream you tell your friends you're considering over drinks to actually doing the dang thing. And if you're trying to figure out how to get the word out, no problem. Shopify helps you find your customers with easy to run email and social media campaigns. Plus, if you get stuck, not to worry. Shopify is always around with 24/7 customer support. You don't need permission. You're more capable than you think. And even if you do find something you can't do, chances are Shopify can. It's time to turn those what ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/poppop. Again, that's shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Here's a different thing that I was thinking about that I feel like is, it's like interesting, I think, or topical to today's world a little bit. And it's like, I'm almost even like slightly hesitant to bring it up.
Okay.
But I feel like we're like uniquely in a position to do so. So like, if you could imagine for a second, like, so we host a podcast that doesn't have like a dedicated topic space to it with the pop, right? So it's like that you like on any given day, we could talk about just about any subject.
Yeah. Case in point today.
Case in point today, most people probably weren't anticipating us talking about Mine Girl. So I have been thinking about this concept that I'm going to dub the social sieve.
Okay.
And
the social sieve.
And so like, I don't know if this is like a proper way to set it up. I'm going to try to set it up this way. So we have a conversation that we have on the pop. Any given day, we could talk about any number of things. Any given day, we could accidentally say something about a certain subject that maybe isn't perfect. So like, for example, we had a conversation on the pop recently about like Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how we just like walked the streets of wherever he walked, throwing apple seeds onto the side of the road, and they grew into apple trees, and voila, there were Johnny Appleseed. He grew a bunch of trees. We had a conversation. It's like, oh man, what an interesting form of like, you know, anti-behavior. Just go plant random trees in random places or whatever. Somebody reached out and was like, hey, I'm an ecologist, and like, don't do that. And it was sort of like, hey, thanks. You know, and on some level I was like, we had no intention of doing that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, not really the point so much as just being silly or whatever, but that's just an example of like how the social sieve could work. So let's say you're standing in Times Square and somebody's constructed like a small, like 10 by 10 stage with like a chair on it. And you are going to go out on the chair for 1 hour a day and speak. You have an audience of 1,000 people who have showed up to listen to you speak, and they are allowed to leave and stop listening to you speak at any point in time. So it's like, as you begin speaking, you go through 1 hour of dialogue. You could say something about planting trees, and there are like 2 to 3 people who are like, no, I'm not really into that. That's a problem. I'm going to walk away. So now you're down to 997. So then you go out there the next day, you have an entire conversation about Lego bricks or whatever. And then somebody's like, I don't like the plastics involved with Lego bricks. So you lose like 5 people. Now you're down to like 992. And like, as time goes on, it's sort of like you're by simple nature of communicating out there in the world, you will inevitably say a thing that like is the wrong thing for some person.
Sure.
And so like, it's interesting to almost imagine like how long would it take for the social sieve to sort of like have people who would like, are like, I came out here for 43 days before my moment happened.
Right.
You know, I came out here for 108 days before my moment happened.
Mm-hmm.
And like, at what point in time would the attrition rate effectively baseline? Because at this point in time, there's so much trust in the communicator that they're like, it's like, if they say something wrong, they didn't know it. They didn't mean to.
Right.
There will be correction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it's sort of like an interesting, like, you know, like when we talk about like Super Carlin Brothers as like a, like an umbrella to the content that we make, it's sort of like when we started making the pop, it was almost like the problem that we originally had with Super Carlin Brothers on day one, which was that we were going to go and have conversations about anything, you know, anything we could think of.
Right.
It wasn't like fandom specific. It occasionally included fandoms, but not intentionally, just that happened to be like a part of our everyday lives. So it was inevitable to find its way in.
Yeah.
You know, so then it's almost like, how do you win people over simply based on personality? Big challenge.
Right.
Right. So it's like when you start something like the pop there, it's like we can introduce it to the people who already know who we are. And that may be like, oh, it'd be interesting to know more about like who these people are as people. So they could come and sort of be here. But then it's almost like an interesting phenomenon in terms of like podcasting, where at the beginning you start with the greatest amount of like potential energy, But then it's almost like as time goes on, it's like there's only one way it can really go. And then after, you know, 333 episodes,
yeah,
it's almost like I would like to think at this point in time we've reached a point where people who are listening like are like, if they make a snafu, they didn't mean to.
Yeah, I mean hopefully, yes, I agree,
like we've made it through the social sieve,
right? Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, could you see that like being out there in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that being out there in the world. I think like if you're gonna like turn away from someone because they said a single thing that like that bothered you ever, that's probably not a good way to live your life, I would think.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Like that would be like a low faith in humanity factor,
right?
Like the idea that it's sort of like, oh no, yeah, no, it's like that would be like too much,
right?
Like the line got crossed.
The line got crossed. Yeah, yeah. But like I do know what you mean. I think there are, you know, people out there. I think this can go either way too. It's like people can be saying like crazy stuff, and it's just sort of like eventually they're like, ah, it doesn't matter because I don't really care if they say some crazy stuff because I like their other stuff.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's true too. Well, so anyway, I mean, that was just I don't know why it was like a thought that I was thinking about. Maybe it just has to do like with what we do for a living,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's sort of like a certain inevitability. Like, I think that was like one of the things, like when we first started doing the pop and we got like, you know, 100 episodes in or whatever, it's like, that is 100 hours of me speaking.
Right.
It's like inside of there, I have made a faux pas.
Right.
Like, there's no way I haven't.
Right.
You know, it's
like you've been talking on the internet for so long that there's like the odds of you saying something incorrectly to somebody or to almost everyone at this point is high.
It's high.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now we're 300 plus episodes in, which means we've probably got 350 hours of discussion. And it's like, if I was worried at 100 hours, it's like 350 hours. It's like, oof. You know, it's like, hopefully I've done okay.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Like that, well, yes. And it's like, I think that's where like the odd, like, that's almost like where I think data can really start to like mess with you though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, even if you've got like a 99%, you know, percent chance of success or whatever, it's like, that means that you're having like a critical failure once every 100.
I guess. Yeah.
You know, and like, but like 99% would be quite good.
Right.
But critical failures ever feel bad.
Well, I guess they do. I mean, I guess define critical failure in this sense.
I have no idea.
Okay.
That's a good point. I mean, and maybe it's entirely possible that I have the number way too high at 99 or at like just a single percent, you know, where it's like, you're not having critical failure anywhere near that often.
Right.
Critical failure, like as far as like what we do, would be pretty bad.
Sure.
Critical failure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also like, though, if you're so afraid of everything that you personally say is going to like affect a single person and that it's going to like turn them like away from you or something, like you can, like, you know, it's like I was thinking that line. There's like a line in Harry Potter where,
oh, when Dumbledore's talking to Hagrid
and he's like, if you're holding out for universal popularity, you're going to be in this cabin for a very long time.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I do think that there's a lot to that where it's sort of like there's no way in the world that, like, you know, everyone is going to universally be happy about anything.
Right.
You know, it's like that would be such a tall, like, think about how good something would have to be for that to be the case. Like, someone out there surely hates Ted Lasso,
right?
You know, and it's like, I don't know who.
I don't. Yeah,
I
don't. That feels ridiculous.
I don't want to grab a beer with them.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, yeah, I might play some darts with them.
Oh,
they wouldn't get that reference though.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, yeah, there's, I think that there can be, I think that there's truth that you can't like hold out for universal popularity, but there is also like I think of it on a very person to person basis. It's like, I can't think of a situation where I wouldn't try to put my best foot forward with any person.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, on some level, it's almost like that's the way that I think about like what we do, where it's like, sometimes it's almost like if there was like a problem, part of me is almost sort of like, we should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and maybe that's even like more of like a vote of confidence for myself, where it's like, maybe I feel like I could talk to everyone who I've upset.
Sure.
You know, like it means that it's a small enough pool that hopefully it's solvable.
I just really can't imagine you're upsetting that many people. Either.
I mean, hopefully not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty family friendly and non-controversial, I think, most of the time.
We do our best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We do our best.
In general.
Yes. No, I know. I mean, and that's where it's like, you know, of course, you once you start to stack up the number of hours, it's like you can't think of everything you've ever said.
No, absolutely not.
You never could.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like this is where, like, I was also looking at sort of like this idea of like being wrong. Like how do you personally feel about being wrong?
I mean, I would say that I'm okay with being wrong. It is an uncomfortable feeling. I know I get like defensive sometimes.
Okay.
excuse me. It often depends on like the nature in which the other person is like handling it or something, I think.
Yeah. There certainly could be that, but like part of the thing that I was like, I would say in our defense for this other conversation is that most of the time when we're having conversations, I think that we are thinking out loud rather than being declarative, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I think that like our team knows this about me. Like, it's not uncommon for me to come in and ask questions and think out loud. And for the most part, like, I think a lot of times they're able to just sort of like take the questions that I'm asking as raw curiosity rather than me being like, I'm trying to make a point and I'm asking you a series of questions to make that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
right.
And I think that makes a difference, but the more, I think being wrong hurts more, the more declarative that you were about the thing that you expressed.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because of course, if you just take like a very confident stand and stake your flag in something, and then it's just like, actually, it turns out I'm looking at the thing right here on Google and that's just incorrect.
Right. Yes. You know? Yes. And so like here was where like I started down this like weird path when I was thinking about like being wrong or being just being wrong and the effect and the relationship that we should have with being wrong. Because like, I think that like a lot of people would find a lot of discomfort in being called out for being wrong.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to try to say that like as a declarative statement. Surely not everybody feels that way. There are probably plenty of people who love the opportunity to have learned something new.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I never knew that, you know, now I know.
Right.
Know? And it's like, I can put that in my arsenal and now I'm better informed for next time. And you know, we move forward. Like, it's that's the best part about being wrong.
Yeah.
You can learn from it.
Exactly.
But so I was kind of going back and forth, because it's like the idea that we should be more comfortable with being wrong to me, like, opens the store for a greater amount of like curiosity and, you know, like openness to new ways of thinking. Like you shouldn't be so absolutely certain of everything.
Sure. No, yeah, I agree with that.
Right. But then what's also kind of interesting about that is like, it's not nearly as bad to be wrong as we think it is. But does that mean that you should be more declarative and also more okay with it being pointed out that you're wrong? Like, if we create a society that's more okay with people being wrong and pointing out that people are wrong, would that mean that like more misinformation would enter the world, because it's more like, it's kind of acceptable to be wrong, so like, just say it?
No, there's a difference between being wrong and being inaccurate.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Or
misinformation, like, is purposefully inaccurate information.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe misinformation is the wrong word for me to use in this particular example then. Not knowingly manipulating.
Right.
You know, more like saying but not knowing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would be the thing. It's like, there's a part of me that's like, I want people to be more okay with being wrong, but at the same rate, I don't want that to increase the amount of wrongness.
Right.
At the same time. And so it's like, you almost like funnel yourself into the situation where it's like, well, maybe we should have high standards about like knowing what you're saying if you're going to say it. But then I find myself like in the trap that I started that in the beginning.
Well, I mean, I guess like it depends on the kind of stuff you're talking about. I mean, if it's like, if you're talking about like just literal like hard facts, then yes, I suppose you should have like, you should try to be accurate about it.
Right.
Right. Yes, like yes. if it's just like if you're, you know, wrong about like fairly inconsequential things, like, you know, it's like, oh, I then it's like, oh, whoops, you know.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Like, do you have an example?
No, not specifically. I'm just sort of like thinking airily.
Okay.
Rather head in the clouds type of thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, I guess if everyone's okay with being wrong, then if people are being pointed out that they're being wrong, then like would people even point it out as much? Like if everyone is like so okay with being wrong, then like would you reach a point where people are afraid to point it out because they would be afraid they'd be wrong about pointing it out? Like, how do you ever know when you're right?
Yes.
Right.
How do you ever know when you're right?
Right.
That, well, I mean, that's an important question.
Right. Because that's the other thing. It's like, you can be like you're right. It's like, you know, you don't have to be declarative about every single thing you say, but I feel like you should be fairly declarative about like what you like personally think is like morally right and stuff. Like, I don't think you need to be like super ambiguous about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's like a tricky one for me, because and maybe you're right, like where it's like for basic morals, it's so cut and dry, because like I don't question how I feel about certain things, like don't steal.
You know? There you go.
Like I don't really have like a hard time like having that like feeling about that particular thing. There are other things where it's like I think I struggle to know morally, because like I can see, you know, multiple components to like the different arguments. And it's like that can be one where sometimes it's like 60% of people have one point of view, 40% of people have the other point of view. It's like when it comes to moral and ethics, it's like it's not necessarily like a majority rules. Like I don't think that's necessarily like the center of how you can like determine it. Like 40% is still a huge percent,
right,
to think a certain way, even if more people think the other way. It's like all that says to me is that like there's not a clear answer.
Right. It's just that like whatever is like it, you at that point, it's like you probably just live in different circumstances, and it's like that what these 40% of people are saying like genuinely is better for their circumstances.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Then if I were to go back to like the original question, I guess it's like if you are told you're wrong about something or proven wrong about something and your identity feels like it takes a hit as a response to being wrong, then like that, I guess that's like the jumping off point that I'm really coming from here.
So right.
It's like, why would your identity be bruised because you didn't know something? It's like, that's such a human thing to like to have happen.
I know. I guess if you define yourself, if your self-worth comes from feeling like you're the person who knows the most in the room all the time.
Sure. Yes.
Then it's sort of like if you're being called out, it's like it's not that you're like we're wrong about one thing, like that might be okay, but it's like a chink in the armor, you know. It's like, oh wait, you know, now people might doubt me forever more or something. And it's like, that's probably not true either. But I see what you mean. Yeah, why does it need to feel like it's an attack on your whole identity?
Right. And because I feel like for the most part, it shouldn't feel that way. Like, but there always can be a little bit like a sting to discovering that you're like not that like something that you believed was incorrect. Like, and it's like, sometimes I wonder if it's not even as outward facing as it is inward facing. Like, if I was wrong about that, what else may I be wrong about because I was sure of this?
Right.
You know, like yeah. that can also cause like a weird amount of like self-doubt where it's almost like now I need to go back and flip back over every flashcard in my brain and just make sure like, was this right? Was this right? Was this right? Was this right? Like, does it still all add up the way that I thought it did? Like, can that be the spiral that comes?
Right. I mean, I guess it could, but just depends on what you were wrong about.
Right. Well.
But one of my favorite sayings is like, if you want to be right all the time, be prepared to change your mind a lot.
Yes. I think that's a really good way to do it. And I think somewhere along the way, this is like a skill that I've tried to hone more and more, which is sort of like, you know, saying like, I think it's this, you know, but like, if I'm not like dead certain, like, trying to it's not like hedging so much, maybe it is hedging, but it's attempting to sort of like open the door for the conversation to go a different way.
Right.
You know, because the other thing that I think can happen with this inside of the same context is that it's difficult to correct somebody because sometimes even that part of it can be very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to even just like have somebody declaratively say something and then challenge it. Cause then it's sort of like, now it's like, it reminds me of like Yu-Gi-Oh. It's like, it's time to duel.
I know. It's like you say that and it's like, I could just let it go. Or is like, is it worth correcting them? Or is it just better just like let the conversation carry on?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You're like, huh, I've activated my trap card.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yes. You've been fact checked.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Nothing worse than like when you're having a conversation with something, you say something out loud and you see somebody in the room start to Google it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh boy. Oh boy. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. You've learned.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess that's the thing is that like trying to like and that's the dilemma I got to, though, is that it's sort of like I feel like people should be more OK with being wrong. But maybe it's like maybe it's not looking at it the right way. Maybe it's like we need to like raise the standard for what a declarative statement is in terms of like knowledge base.
Right.
You know, because then ideally it's not a matter of like being wrong, it's just having a higher bar as to what constitutes being.
Well, if you're the right. If you're a person who makes a lot of declarative statements, then you also about facts or whatever, then you also probably need to not like be someone who also exaggerates a lot.
Oh, you know? Sure. Yes. Right. Right. Like hyperbole can become a real factor.
Right.
You know, inside right. of this.
Right. Because it's just like, oh, well, like you just like if you're fact checking someone and, you know, they're like mad at you for that. And you're like, I don't know. It just seemed like an unbelievable claim. Or it's like, oh, I was just exaggerating. It's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Don't do that. that's not my fault. Like that sounded outrageous. So of course it was like, if that's true, oh my God, I need to like, I need to then I've been wrong about a way of things.
Yes. And so that's the other end of it. So it's like, yeah, if you have a declarative statement that's wrong, then it may, if the other person believes you, then it causes that person to go through and start flipping over all the flashcards right. and reviewing. It's like, well, what if everything I thought I knew was wrong?
Right. Right. Just like, wait a minute. McDonald's is like extremely healthy for you.
It's like,
that can't be. No,
I got to solve this.
Like,
now.
I don't believe that. Right. Like,
right. Yeah. Right. Right.
There's no way that's true. I'm going to need to look that up. It's like, see, there was a headline here that someone found a way to make McDonald's healthy for them by only eating salad and not getting the dressing. And even then avoiding all of the chips. And they did that for a month and they said McDonald's was healthy. Right. Okay. So like, sure. They ate lettuce for a month.
They ate lettuce. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Which also probably not quite healthy.
Yeah. Probably also being honest, not that healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. But not, you know, that's calorie deficit in an aggressive manner. Not anything else. Yeah.
That's malnutrition in an aggressive manner too.
No vitamins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So anyway, yeah. No, I just think it was, I just thought it was interesting. It was sort of like, we live in a declarative world.
Yeah, sure.
Is I guess what it comes down to.
Yeah,
you know,
is for sure.
Like, and I think that probably a lot of that comes from people wanting, like in a world that feels like it's hard to understand. I think the more you can feel declarative about it, the more it makes it feel like you have a like handle on what's going on. And it's like, if you can say this is absolutely, it's sort of like that, then it means you've closed the parts of your mind that would be open to changing your perspective at all, because it's sort of like, you know what, I've decided how I feel and that's that.
Right.
You know, it's like, and it's probably like a lot of other like big decisions that you make in life. It's like, once you've decided, it's like, no, I'm just going to not think about like the other details. Like I bought my house. I don't have to keep looking on Zillow for other houses because, although that is a fun pastime.
Sure.
You know, but like, but I mean, just for an example, it's sort of like, I got this one. I don't need to keep looking because I can't keep moving, you know,
right.
I can't move all the time. So even if I find a better one, I can't just move to that one just because
yeah. Unless you're a realtor and they do that all the time.
And then they do that all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
But they're
yeah.
like set up for it. And they know like all the logistics.
I know. Right. They don't have kids.
They are unencumbered. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's not a problem. Yeah, just right. Move around. Oh, I found a better one. Didn't show this one to anyone.
Yeah. So anyway, it feels like a good time to close out with, you know, if you're that realtor person, go and find a house, dig your own mine, you know?
Dig your own mine. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Ben, let me talk about realtors for a second. There has become like a new trend. I want to know if this is happening in other areas or if it's just like a trend that's happening in Roanoke Realty billboards. Okay. And it's just post like a very, it's like the billboard is just like a real casual picture of you, not in like realtor, not like in a suit or something, just like I'm hanging out, and it'll just be like warm, empowering, savage. And it'll be like, that's your real, like, but, and I saw there was one woman in our area who was posting these billboards all over the place with a variety of like, setups
like three word things.
Three word things.
I'm familiar with the ones.
Yeah. Okay. I know you know who I'm talking about because they're very effective billboards.
They are. It's working.
But now there are copycat ones. There's like ones that are like your mom, only cooler, you know? It'll be like warm, brave, like your mom, only cooler. And it's like, now, wait a minute. You're copying the other girl now.
Also, okay? Insulting is this my mom.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm like, you're aware that you're insulting everyone's mom, right?
It's just a big mama joke.
Yeah. That's a mama joke. Yeah. So I want to know if this brand of realty billboards is everywhere, or if this is like we're in the middle of like a realtor billboard echo chamber in here.
It's very difficult to say because I do feel like we're in a small enough market, and it seems like the first round of these things being done was successful enough.
Yeah,
that like it could set off like alarm bells, because it's like we live in such a small area that it's like there are probably like 50 people who are like full-blown realtors by profession, you know.
Sure.
Plenty of other people who probably do it, but like maybe not like all the way, you know. So it's like I'd be willing to bet that a lot of the realtors in our area know the other realtors in our area.
Absolutely they do.
Yeah, 50, yeah. 50 might be small, but like, you know what?
Yeah,
I mean.
More than 50. Yeah.
But it's a small enough pod that like, you know, if anybody in Roanoke sees like, oh yeah, that's getting phone calls, then it's like, maybe I should do it too.
Should we make a popcorn culture billboard in this style?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like we're just like popcorn, like what would our words be? Oh my god, I already love it. Oh wait,
okay. Vulnerable.
Oh. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Yeah. Because you have to have like, you have to have like two words and then like a kicker.
Okay. I think like, you know? like smart, witty, vulnerable.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's me and you sitting on like a Shea lounge or whatever.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh. We can so do that. And only the people in Roanoke will get it.
Oh yeah.
But they'll know exactly what it is.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It'll be like, oh man, a little bit pop, a little bit corn.
Oh.
Or a little bit corny. A little bit, like you can just copy it straight up. You'd be like, a little bit corny, a little bit savage. You know?
Oh
my gosh.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate this. I mean, it's like that's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, we endorse our friend blankety blank as your Roanoke realtor. Otherwise, it's just like we're just taking out a billboard for literally no reason.
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
But I mean,
not no reason. I mean, people could check out the podcast.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, we're gonna hit a whole new swath of people for the social sieve.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh, how we could so do this and just hit like 3 to 4 locations for like a month, and I guarantee you, it's all we would hear from anyone in Roanoke for the next month.
Okay, here's my rule, is that I don't want to go digital billboard, because
you want paper billboards.
I want like the vinyl billboard, because when you're done, you get to keep the vinyl and it makes a wonderful water slide. And I've always
Want people to water slide down our faces.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we need to find, 3 to 4 paper billboard vinyl locations.
Yep.
That we can have installed for a month.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. It feels doable. We have to come up. We need you guys' help coming up with what are our three words? What are our words for the billboard? Knowing that, like, this is your inspiration. All right. It'll be like the one girl is, yeah, it's like warm, bold, like your mom, only cooler, right? That's one.
Right.
That's one. Yes, one is a little bit vintage, a little bit savage.
Yes. Right. Yes. So right? Like we need something like this.
Yeah. You can just have like the three, you can do the three words. It's like each word is its own sentence.
Right.
You know, it's just like warm, comfortable, different. Whatever.
Different. Yeah. Okay, so we're different.
We're different.
What does that mean?
Like we're not like your other podcasts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Different from what?
Different from what? I don't know. I think you guys get the flavor of what we're going for here.
Oh yeah. I mean, people have already wrote the email. You know,
they've already written it.
We get it. Okay.
We get it.
This is my
new favorite campaign.
We need a billboard slogan for the pop. A la this formula, you can send all of your thoughts to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Alternatively, if you'd like to support the show, you could do so at patreon.com/popcornculture and just select any of those tiers. In case you're unaware, because we haven't talked about it in a long time, the way that we determine who hosts every single episode is there's Buzzy B tiers and Jazzy J tiers, and you can go and like vote basically by signing up on the Patreon page. So that is how that is determined. So be sure to go and check it out. Links all that and obviously all the show notes. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.